Let us move forward expositorily through our dissertation. Take your document. Everyone repeat after me. Scriptural comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 22. And then this morning, I said, I know someone's going to say, Pastor, when are we ever going to leave that verse? When it is exhausted. 1 Corinthians. That is 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Here we will look very briefly at verse 12, and we want to focus on verse 13 this morning. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. As we have been conveying in context, this verse, these two verses outlay the operational aspect of what the mystery writings' intentions are. It is to draw us into an eternal mindset that we focus and we operate not in what we view in life or in the matrix, on the screen of coordinates and axes, those manifestations that are coming from the light, and there are diverse angles, and from those angles we see certain things. But then we don't go by what we see. We go to the source of the light. That is the essence of our Lord, who in eternity, through one decree, has outlaid all things. Everything in one decree. Everything is complete. Everything is finished. So the exercises that we go through and we will continue to go through, amen, is to focus us in from the vantage point of the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The vertical viewpoint. Looking down on life instead of around in life. And though we operate in the venue and arena of this life or the matrix, it is not about the seeing. It is about the saying. The true picture is what God has said rather than what we think we view in the matrix. Again, it is a matter of the grids and the mediums by which manifestation is displayed for the purpose of God showing us what he has done. Amen. The greater picture is not looking into the matrix, but looking into God's word. So we don't walk by appearances. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen. There are some things in the matrix that can wipe you out as far as your mind is concerned. Can blow your mind. Oh, yeah. Amen. If that's all you're looking at. All right, Brother Deacon and everyone else. Remember, as we looked into this second chapter of Corinthians, Paul starts it out and basically speaks of conveying to them the advantage of the comfort by which he was comforted. Right. Not comforted of looking into the matrix and things changing and everything going your way. But the comfort of knowing that what God has said excels and exceeds the proceedings and processes of time and physicality. And so, basically, he spoke of the many troubles and things he had, and you know, notice that many of the messages that we hear about deliverance is that something is happening in time, something is happening in the matrix, someone is either sick, or someone is facing some dilemma, and they come along and they either get healed or they get some relief from it. And you notice Paul, amen, his experiences was he got sick and he stayed sick. But he was well in mind. He was poor and he stayed poor. But he always spoke of the richness that's in Christ. And so, it is not, we're not held captive to the circumstances of life. He who is in you, he's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than he who is in the world, or anything that is in the matrix. Amen. The saying overshadows the seeing. And so here, as we contextualize, we go look again, basically, get to verse 12. Amen. He's telling you where the joy is. Well, Deacon, why don't you read that 12th and 13th verse from the King James, and then we'll go to the Greek interlinear. And then, as we settle down, we're going to give some brief reprise of what we have gleaned in verse 12, and then our exegesis today shall focus basically verse 13. All right? Everyone has, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Amen? Amen? All right, read or read.
We're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity,
yep, see, we'll straighten all that out. Keep going.
Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge.
All right, and explain that out too. Go ahead.
And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end.
All right, let's go now to the interlineal. Those of you who don't have it, and also on the website, amen, just follow closely. It follows pretty closely in some areas to a certain extent what's there in the translations. Here again, we cannot begin to explicate or explain something before we have a consensus and understanding of what the utterance is. All right? Read.
Now, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 12, from the interlineal Greek text. For the boasting of us, this is the testimony of the conscience of us, because in sanctity and sincerity of God, not in wisdom fleshly, but in grace of God, we behaved in the world. More especially, and with you. Verse 13, not for other things we
not
write.
Not for other. Allah there. Other. Not for other. Not for other things. Keep reading.
Not for other things we write to you.
Paul's writing says, here you won't get the essence of what we are seeing operating in physicality. I'm not talking about five ways how to, y'all don't hear me this morning, how to get out of something. We're not here to talk about this morning how we get our bills paid. How you get rid of that big toe that's been aching you. Man, I'm not downplaying these things. But there's a high plane that, oh my God, y'all don't hear me this morning. There's a high calling. There's a high place of operating and living and breathing and moving than what's around you. Everybody say, not for other things. Not for these things. We're not talking. Paul said, I want you to focus above that. Remember back in that 12th verse there, he said, I'm boasting of our conscience. And of course, we dealt with the Greek word there, synesthesios, which breaks down to a term used in the medical psychological field, synesthesia, which means to bring the senses together. And here said, we are bringing our conscience, our senses, we're uniting our conscience to belong to God. That in singleness, our single focus here and priority and devotion and sincerity, and here they have the genitive there, belong to God. My mind belong to God. My heart, my focus, my aim, my aspiration is not in the matrix. Not in the things that we see. And Paul said, now this is the way we have been operating. Else some of these things could have wiped us out. But that which came against us, we knew that it was working for us. Oh my God. To bring us to the closeness of our eternal relationship. In understanding. In concept. And so this illumination and this elucidation is to lift us above the plane, a higher plane that I've found. Lord, plant my feet where? On higher ground. That's what this is for. And he said, this is the way that we've operated toward you. Not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God. The knowledge of the mystery. Yes, the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
Grace covenant.
That's your guidebook.
It is.
These are your outlines of how and why and what and when, yes, as far as living is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we walk by what we know, mm-hmm, rather than what we see. And what is it we know? We know what has been revealed to us,
mm-hmm,
in the revelation of the mystery. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is why it is so important, and I must say this for those that are listening, amen. It does matter where you're reading from in this Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay out of the Old Testament for doctrine. We go to the Old Testament not to learn but to teach. We take the knowledge of the mystery, and now we understand what was going on in those areas. And also it brings you peace. It brings you peace of mind and peace of heart. In the Old Testament, it's about stipulations. In the Greek Testament, it's about inspiration. In the Old Testament, you do or you're dead. In the Grace Testament, everything is already done, so you're alive. It has been alive. And never been in jeopardy of death.
Thank God.
Never. 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 Never.
So when you go to the Old Testament, it's about what it stipulates. When you go to the Grace Covenant, it's about what it inspires. And what does it inspire? It inspires to a closer walk and a confident relationship in life.
That's right. That's right.
And so as we walk through life, even David said, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil.
Wow. Glory to God.
But from our viewpoint, we know that all things are already done.
Yeah.
All things are already accomplished.
Yeah.
And he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and strong and sound thinking. I'll give him a praise this morning. As we move to the exegesis of 13, it starts out Uga Allah, not for other things, are those things, are the others, not this. The writing here. Here, follow me closely. We're gonna just pass. Just follow. Follow. These are wholesome, sound words. That's gonna help you. When whatever happens out there this week, you're gonna be set. Because that's not what's going to move you. You know, when Paul is here. Begins to leave Ephesus and the count in Acts. He spoke of all the things that he had encountered. Wild beasts. And he spoke of all of the things that would have wiped most people out. But the Lord has fixed him. And Paul said, none of these things move me. And so, these writings, we have the Greek word graphemy. We write. What do we write about? He said graphemy I mean Allah I Allah ye. No, Kriti. What are you saying, Paul? We write to you, other than what you read. Follow this closely now. We write to you, other than what you read. Ike epi ye nosk kriti. I even perceive. What are you saying here? Y'all follow me closely now. Everybody pay attention this morning. The essence of this is the true picture of life. And the true picture of life is not in physicality. Do not draw things out of the matrix. Face value. Pastor, what do you mean? Don't what you see. So what you see is what, no, you know, you don't. Unless you want to go crazy. That's why I mean of God's people basket cases. Because we're walking by sight. No, you don't.
Jesus.
You may pick up the paper the other day and see anything.
Yeah, come on here. Anything. Preach it.
And if your confidence moved by what you see and hear, almost many days at least, your day is going to be ruined.
Mm-hmm.
It's not news unless it's bad news.
That's right.
In the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And the scriptures teaching us. What does it teach us? It tells us that we are not
looking
at what?
Things being seen.
The things being seen. We're not looking in the matrix and saying that's it. But what are we looking at? We write other things. What other things? The unseen things. The eternal things. What's the difference? That which is in the matrix that we see is temporary. It's passing through.
Yeah.
What does temporary mean?
Not long.
Oh, thank God, it's not long. But the unseen eternal is what? Forever. That's the difference. Oh, God, if we could just live that way. It doesn't matter what was happening 100 years ago. Not really. Or 50 years ago. Not really. And to them at that time, it was most important. But to them right now, it doesn't matter. In the scripture, this is why Paul writes, he said, now those of you who were married, he said, as though as you never married. Is that scripture? Am I in the scripture? And this is the one that really kills them. Those of you who had possessions, as though you never had possessions. But there's some other things too that's not said, but that's implied. Those of you who had ailments and were sick and were maimed and the heartaches and the disappointments, as though you never had them. Oh my God. It's about where you are in Christ, not where you are in this body and in the matrix and in a particular time. Where are you? I'm in Christ. When? Now. Since when? Since eternity and never left. And even as I walk through time, I realize that my true abode is in eternity. Eternity. Everybody say eternity.
Eternity.
Now, this is not a very popular message. And you're not going to fill a house that way. I understand. This is not the way to fill the pews. No. You got to be talking about something that I can see, I can taste, I can touch, I can resonate with. Which would be okay if you could hold on to it. Those things. Paul writes in one place, why are you acting as though the things that you are using, amen, are remaining? He said the using is in the essence of you using it up. Nothing lasts in the matrix. And of course, there's a positive side of that. The old quartet song, I'm so glad, trouble don't last always. All of this is temporary. And oh, God help his people to know that we are just moving through. Amen. In conscious. Oh, they reserved for us the essence of where you were before you were ever encapsulated in this vile body. This is why Paul writes in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Having blessed us with each and every what? Spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavens. Where are the heavens? In Christ. According as He chose us in Him. When? Before the creation of the world. Being holy and blameless before Him. Oh my God. In love. Having foreordained. Having predestinated, if you want to say it that way. Amen. Until the position of sonship. It's all to the pleasure of His good will. And God has done a great job. We love His will. And we magnify His will. And above all, we are not afraid of His will. But you can finish that up. And I hope.
We write to you other than what ye read or even perceive. And I hope that to end
that
ye
end
will
you
perceive.
Will perceive. Going forward, your perception will be from the vertical viewpoint. And even as you look in time, you look in time from the vantage point of eternity. Now let's go to our document. Page 22. Let's start at the bottom. Those who are watching by way of the web class, if you go into either audio or video section, you can click on the icon and this document will come up. Under the section that's called Testimonial Estrangements and Physical Secular Measures, the Matrix. Again, our excitement and enthusiasm of these testimonies in the Matrix basically short-lived through the deterioration of them. That which makes you happy today, it wears off. Not enough to hold you. Whatever kind of joy you get is not enough to hold you. It's moving through. So these cholerary ravages in time, actually, they initiate the rites of desolations. But here, you must understand that even all of those things were predetermined. They've already begun before they, and they've already concluded before they, quote, reached the point of no return. These testimonies explicate their personal acts of judgment and choices. See what I'm reading from now, just above that. Situate the agenda on the matrix, yet the ineffectiveness cannot be avoided. That's not what life is about. That's not what's really happening to you. That's a process. Minus the facts of the purpose. So human compassions do not exude pristine certainties of no to what such was previously subjected. To a yes to what is yet in experience. And so now we get down to our little illustration there with the big question mark there of the writings. Everybody so unfamiliar and inexperienced. That's what's wearing you out.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Now let's walk through the matrix. But using the eyes of the enlightenment of God's word as we walk through the matrix, okay? This is, everybody got me? Got everybody with me? This is the unfamiliar facilitation that bears neither the dismal nor dazzling appeal. Everybody said dismal or dazzling. That is a capsule that it exhibited in the transactions imbued at the beginning and end of occurrences. That's where that thing could go good or it could go terribly wrong. That's what keeps us awake at night.
Yes.
Not knowing the outcome. This thing could either cure me or kill me. This thing could either release me or destroy me. Everybody again said dazzling, dismal, or dazzling peel. These chronicles, are you with me? We don't walk through this now. These chronicles arouse incapacities to reliably certify whatever and whenever such are believed. You know how we waver. And that's what the worry is. We hope it comes out this way, but we're afraid it's going to come out that way. Follow closely. In spite of these morphs of change charismas, that is either the darkness, the dimness, or the light, their views identify, listen, the dazzling pill in a genuine temptation of comfortable numbness and ease. And what we're saying here is that we think, hey, if it comes out this way, I'm in clover. I'm fine. I'm safe. You know, you just got that raise on the job. You got to have more money now. Just got a good report from the doctor. And so you're going to just kind of relax and lay back and say, hey, man, life is good. Depending upon what's been communicated to you in the matrix transaction.
Right. Amen. That's it.
Follow me now.
Oh, yeah. Preach it.
You cannot depend upon that. Don't rest in anything that's around you. Your peace, your joy, your tranquility is always heavenward towards what He has already done for you. Conversely, are you with me? In numerous instances, the dismal pill is the avenue to exactness that exudes unmasking a fictional, as yet unimaginable, but prearranged contentions, purpose, and its actualized precision of reminiscence. Now, what are we saying here? As we look, and say, oh, Lord, this thing is going, I'm going to rush, oh, it's going. And of course, you're looking at that and said, that's where I am.
Right.
You know why? Because we have the tendency to focus not on God, but on ourselves.
Absolutely.
Not on what He has done, but what we are doing.
Absolutely.
And no wonder we're shaky.
Yeah.
Because we know our limitations. At least we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no matter how well you think you've done that thing, there's always that little doubt. And as it unmasks, as it unravels, as the fiction of it, of what the unimaginableness of it, as it manifests, it tends to depress us.
Yes.
It tends to cause us great trepidation. When the Word of God shows us that whatever that thing is, it's prearranged. These contentions are prearranged. Those things that come at you, they're prearranged. They're purpose. And actually, God's precisions of remnants is all I'll never forget that day. Yes, I'm going to talk about it over and over again, as long as I'm alive. I was standing there in the operating room, operation preparation, with Mother Gutlow Johnson. And I looked, and I knew that she was getting ready to have a massive operation. And all the indicators there showed her vitals to be as though she was just relaxing without a worry in the world. And you know, that's the way it should be for us. I mean, to focus on what could happen, because first of all, the anesthesiologist, he's a man and he's not perfect. Supposed to get some stuff mixed up. They have operation mishaps in the operating room, don't they? Yeah. Oh yes, they do. And anything could happen. So now your mind could be working and said, suppose this thing go the other way. But she was cool. She was a cool customer, if I may say that. Mother, you seem mighty calm. Pastor? Yes, ma'am. Didn't you teach us God's word that everything's already done? Yes, ma'am. Why should I be laying here worried about something that's already done? That situation may go every bit the way that you have perceived its negative outcome. But that's not the rule. The rule is not what it is based upon what it seems to be. The rule is what God has purpose of it. And that thing could be working for you instead of against you. So what is your confidence in? Should be God's purpose. Purpose overrules process. I'm broke. My money is funny. Purpose. God has a purpose for you going through that.
That's right.
Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Or do we live in doubt and fear? I know everything's God's will, but I'm a little nervous about what his will might be. It may not fit my program. I guarantee you it doesn't fit your program. Wasn't designed for our programs. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but what? Your will. It's like we feel that God doesn't really have a handle on what's going on in the matrix. It's like, Lord, did you see that? Oh, God, did you see that? Ooh. Lord, come on down here and see about me. Here we are, sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ, and we think God is somewhere on a vacation. You know, like Adam, the devil shows up, and by the time God gets back, everything's all messed up. Stay out of the Old Testament for doctrine. What's written back there, doctrine, will confuse you. When you go back there, have the knowledge. get the true essence. That it is what it is purposed for instead of what you think you perceive. You know, Paul writes in that 13th verse, he said that what we're writing for you is not based upon, you know, what you think and what you perceive in the physical sense. Our focus is in the spiritual, eternal. Essence of what eternality imbues. Which is joy and peace and comfort, and everything is already complete.
Already.
Done.
That's right.
And it works out already to your advantage.
Amen. Glory to God.
All right. Let's read on. I'm trying to finish this section today. Comprehensiveness. Everybody see where I am at the top of the page of 23. Comprehensiveness of these functionalities exudes reception to authentic existentiality, remarkably, misperceived realities. Everybody said misperceived realities.
Misperceived.
That's what you think is real is not real.
Right.
These are the things that instigate what liquefy around and touch the mirrored envelope of adjourning affairs as if being expelled from them. That is being expelled from within like an air bubble. And life is just throwing things out at you without any purpose. If I had done this, it wouldn't have happened that way. Don't you go there. Why did that thing show up? Because it was pre-planned. Why did God plan that? Because it was His purpose and will. Why was it God's purpose and will? Because that's His agenda. Why? Because that's His design. Why? Because He's God. And He does what He wants, when He wants, to who He wants. You all don't hear me this morning. For His purpose. And His purpose is always good. In these most horrific and effectively rendered moments, listen. Insecurity then awakens in a completely wired state enclosed within the gelatinous membrane, which pushes throughout in order to survive. And so you think, I got to do this. I did all I can. You don't control anything.
Amen.
You don't decide anything.
Amen.
You don't determine anything.
Yes.
I couldn't get it done. You'll never get it done. It's not about what you do. It's about what God has already done for you. Or for Him, really. And we benefit because we are what? We're in Him. If it benefits Him, it can't help but benefit us if we're in Him. Now, if you're somewhere you think you're remotely separated from God, now we got problems. We got big time problems. These illusions, are you with me? Interpret seemingly infinite numbers of armors laying dormant as far as the eye can see. In a sense, graphically intuitive, but inevitably discarded where? Down the anxiety chute. You're going through all of these changes. And your changes are not effective. All the worrying you did had no effect on that situation. So everything just goes down the anxiety chute. Everything. And you know, we worry about a lot of things we shouldn't worry about. Sometimes, some people just look for things to worry about.
Amen.
They're not happy unless they're worrying.
Oh, yes.
God help me, I'm learning not to worry about this. Somebody come to me, someone says, okay. Say, what don't you think of this? All right, amen.
Amen.
I mean, what did Mother say? That thing's already done.
Already done.
Why am I sitting here going crazy about it? So, Pastor, you're crazy. No. I'm going the route that will keep me from going crazy. In this awakened sense, let us look at things through the eyes of faith and through the mind and purpose of God. The matrix encounters its mechanized state, and disconnecting its shrewd manifestations of deified purpose in its materialized system. So now I'm looking at the purpose of God instead of the procedure or the process. I'm not looking at the thing, I'm looking at what God is doing with the thing. Because that's what it's really about. I'm not looking at the fact that I'm broke, I'm looking at what God is doing with the fact that I'm broke.
Amen.
Or that I miss this. Here's the question, not what you're doing, what is God doing? And so we should never ask, what is this?
What is this for?
Juxtapositions, that is, comparing things. I just fit them side by side in comparison. Juxtapositions of spirituality and physicality, secularity, assembles the criteria of stability. In creation, beyond humanity's collapse through the particular chilling moments, it gives some stability when you compare spirituality with physicality. And of course, one is going to give you insecurity, but the other one is going to give you confidence. The gaze of its mechanisms exact consecutiveness of useless defections. When such deport to the matrix, misaligned representation of existence. What are we saying there? We're looking at this thing. You're going to be consecutively in turmoil in your mind. Because all you're seeing in the matrix are useless defections that in the matrix. Basically, most of them are misaligned representations of existence. What you think you see is not it. Say, what are you? I'm a child of God. No, I mean, what are you really? I'm this. I'm that. I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm an auntie. I'm a relative. Professionally, I'm this. I'm that. I'm a doctor. I'm Joe Diploma. I just thought I'd kind of wake a few of you up. No. What are you really? What really defines you? You were son positioned and placed in the body of Christ when? In eternity, before creation. In eternality is where you are. Any man in Christ, those in Christ were what? New creations. Old things pass away, behold, all are new. Now, in eternality, everything in the matrix has already passed away. Everything that we're encountering right now has already passed away. Your tomorrow is done, your next week, your next year, all the way to the end of your life is already done. Your conscience are going to move through these frames. You remember when we were dealing with the frames? But, it's already done. Everybody says already done.
Already done.
Are you with me? That are figuratively within, appreciably within, all that are figuratively within, appreciably plummets into refuge and are only salvageable, these are the things in the matrix, in the sense of their inevitable morph characteristics. This realization embraces what is actualized in the physical secular cosmos. What is actualized in the physical secular cosmos? What is actually in the matrix? What is actually here? Nothing. It's all light. That's all in the matrix. Nothing resides in the matrix. I see we won't get through today, but amen. Nothing resides in the matrix. Nothing resides in the matrix. It's all about nothing. Except testimony. You know, from the first of this book, you remember, we dealt with the light. In 1 Timothy 6:14, it shineth forth. And in John it says, the darkness comprehends it not. And so you have the matter, and the matter is nothing but light, and the antimatter is nothing but the space between. And light becomes energy. Energy becomes vapor, vapor becomes gas, gas becomes liquid, liquid becomes solid. Now you can reverse that. It collapses back the other way. And so the solid can go all the way back to light because that's where it came from in the first place. And so there's nothing there. It's for testimony. It's depictions. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It's in the same. And so the thing that's appearing is not coming out of the seeing. It comes out of what? The same. Accordingly, what actually exists, deal with this. Let's look at this now. What actually exists definitively and externally beyond the confines of the measurably perceived. Alas, the question or query, are the entities therein dead or alive? Are they alive or dead? Far from either. If they're not real, it's irrelevant. As such, merely begins and ends in what is acceptable as true as its reflections. Allegorically speaking, if the central question of humanity's destiny is merely the importance of being in and out of the earth's orb, then the welfare of existence would be inextricably, that's unable to be unraveled, linked to the end of time. Morph circles include inherent conceptions by simply quantifying in close proximity and distant planes what are shielded rather than what awaits its assured conclusion. We've got all of these planes that are set. In each one of these frames, there is something in it. And as we move through these frames, they're all testifying, giving us testimonies of something. And what is it conveying to you? The matrix is more dependent upon its faithful, specifically, indulgences knows the things that lull you into certain man sets of these matters. The very first moments of his confiscations prearranged into what has been subjected to futility. Understand that. And they're under siege, which convey that the matrix functions under authoritative developmental control. Everybody say authoritative developmental control. God's never loses control. Oh, we implore you to look at God rather than look at the situation, because God controls the situation. All its resistant movements imbue cultivations that exist outside the controls of its total observation. So everything that's happening in the matrix, they're being controlled from without, not from within. What can you reach in the mirror and change? Not a thing. And that's what you're doing in time when you're trying to fix something. The control comes from without, not within. These ever-mobile believer functions seek to depict self-determination from his momentary bondage to decay. Folly, foolishness. This lack of disclosure, if you don't know, fail to discover that no fixations therein identify within themselves. There are no fixes in the matrix, like there are no fixes in the mirror. Never are the observations reliably cited in the resident base of actuality itself, yet functions as trilogies, or trilogies, I should say. Oh, I'm going to go back next week. What's a trilogy? In literal prose, there are three different situations that's laid out, and each one comes to some particular conclusion. Here's the key. Everything within this orb is manifestation, is light, is purpose, is testimony. Is there to teach you something? Pastor Peter wrote one time in corroboration about the fiery trials that have come to kill you. No, to try you, not to kill you. The purpose is... You in Christ, you can't be destroyed. It came to try you, not to... of what they connote in representations on behalf of their activities. In fact, I'm going to end here today. The matrix dismal appeal, everybody said dismal appeal. That's the thing about, that you're worried about is going to happen, inaugurates induction into devastatingly costly but nevertheless inaccurate comports. The word means in mythologies. In contrast to the visibly stunning, brightly covered manifestations grasped within the matrix. You look at it and you say, oh, I do this and this. It's all platform is clothed in drab, fugue-style fabrics that are forced out of necessity to subsist in its grueling conceptions. In other words, there's nothing there. And that's not design. You see, heavenlies were never designed for earth. True happiness was never designed for this earth.
No.
Not in the sense of what's here. You wonder why things are messed up? Things aren't messed up. Things are as designed. They're messed up because you've messed up what you think they should be. Now, I'm not saying through life we don't try to get some things and do some things and be happy and so forth and so on and so on. You know? This is only saying don't depend upon it. Don't depend upon what you see. So while I'm going to go out in the world and I'm going to do this and so forth, I said to young people, yeah, go out there, but don't you ever depend upon that thing. Don't ever put that thing in the center of your operations, of your mind. Do not let that be the heartbeat of your modus operandi. Do not set that thing as the treasure of your heart. The only thing that belongs in the center is Jesus.
Glory to God.
The essence of this is Jesus.
Amen.
The heartbeat of my existence. Jesus. The joy of my life. Jesus, the center of my existence, my thoughts, my aims, my aspirations, what I'm looking for, what I'm trusting in. Oh, my God. The essence of what things really, really really is in Christ.
That's right.
You know that song things used to sing? But no, we sing it now sometimes. A higher plane. How's that song styled? No, not that one. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm pressing on, that's it. The upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. How did that go? Anyway, the bottom line is, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Can you say lift me up? Can you stand by faith? On heaven, a high plane. Can you stand on a plane? Can you stand on a plane? That I found, Lord, plant my feet, what? On higher ground. We'll take it up next week. God bless you. Oh, my God.